Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A massive weekend in college football upcoming, ladies and gentlemen. And that, of course, includes your South Carolina Gamecocks on the road down in perhaps the most difficult environment in all of college football to play in. That, of course, Death Valley, Louisiana, the home of the LSU Fighting Tigers in this game. It feels very important to Shane Beamer and the South Carolina Gamecocks. Disappointing loss to Vanderbilt, although they are a good team like I told you they would be. Disappointing loss to Mizzou, who may actually somehow end up having the best running back in college football. But this is not a get-right game. This is a challenging team because while Ole Miss was able to hand LSU a win and make it appear to the country that Rob Brown was right, they are a bit overrated, but still a very good football team, but very beatable, they did it because there's a young man playing quarterback at Ole Miss named Trinidad Chambliss, who was spectacular in that game. What I think has got to get the South Carolina fans a little bit excited is that Trinidad Chambliss plays a very similar game to Lenoris Sellers. He just happened to have the game of his career as an unknown with very little tape on him in that game against LSU. A lot of tape on Lenoris Sellers. So, how does South Carolina attack that LSU defense that has a very good front seven? How do they wear him out the way Ole Miss did? I have an idea. To find out how they can do that, we should go to the phone lines now. And we should take a little virtual road trip right on down to Columbia, South Carolina. And that is where we find a young lady who covers the Gamecock Athletic Department for the Greenville News. She is also kind and gracious and gives us a little bit of her time every Thursday morning to talk a little Gamecock sports. Joining us now on the show, the lovely Lulu Kissin. Good morning, young lady. I need you to know I was quite mad at you last week because I knew you were going to New York. I did not know you were going to an MLB playoff postseason game. That looked like it was awesome.
Good morning. Yes, first of all, bear with me. I'm recovering from a sinus infection, so I apologize for my voice. But honestly, I did not know when we spoke that I was going to that game either. My friend texted me that she got tickets from work, and it was very, very last minute.
That's dope. This is shockingly true, Lulu. I've been to probably 120 Major League Baseball games in my life. Never been to a playoff game before. I can't imagine it wasn't electric, even if the Yankees did go on to lose the series, LOL.
Yes, it was awesome. It was very, very fun.
I dig it. All right, let's talk a little Gamecock football, Lulu Kissin. And as we always do, let's go back to last week, because I did think South Carolina and Kentucky was a get-right game. It is not as talented of a roster as Mark Stoops has carried into the season the last couple of years. It is a Kentucky team kind of struggling to find their way a little bit, I think, which provided an opportunity for South Carolina to, in my opinion, just get on the same page, to kind of focus on, forge, find the identity. I wish they would have had it before that game. And Shane Beamer said, we're still working on finding out what our identity is. I don't love that that is the case in week six of a 14-week season, but I understand reality sometimes. What was your takeaway from that game as far as finding out who this team is and the team finding out who the team is?
I think my biggest overall takeaway is like, okay, South Carolina can run the ball, but can they run it well and can they do it consistently? It doesn't, I still don't have the confidence to say yes, only because still at times South Carolina struggled. And then on the flip side, stopping the run, there's issues with that early. So you kind of look at it as, okay, yes, it's great to display that South Carolina, you know, at first struggled and then their defense sort of locked in and improved. But it does sort of concern you looking at the gauntlet that they have and going forward. And it's just a fact that they're going to face teams that can run the ball a lot better and stop the run a lot better than they did against Kentucky. And I know it sounds like a broken record and everyone talks about the run game, but it was an example in a game for them to display or kind of take advantage of absolutely, you know, probably the weakest SEC defense and offense they'll face. And it seemed like at times maybe they could have, stepped on the gas a little more.
I think that's 100% true. But again, finding the run identity, which was not a thing in the Vanderbilt and the Missouri games, that was a priority for me going into that game. Was I don't care if it's Attaway, if it's face on. I know I need Lenora Sellers involved. He looked like he was. And once it, to me, and maybe this is just me kind of having a bit of confirmation bias, Lulu, but it felt to me once we saw Lenora Sellers a little bit more involved in the run game, it felt to me as if the field opened up a little bit. And while we are talking about Kentucky, to me that is mandatory if South Carolina wants to give themselves any chance on the road at LSU.
100%. I agree. And I think that is why reporters keep kind of talking to Shula about that, or fans keep talking to people about that, because it's not that anyone is necessarily accusing Shula of like keeping Lenoris in a certain place or in a certain way or, you know, containing him, but it's recognizing how many good things happen when Lenoris is able to do that. And I think Kentucky was a nice example of that. I agree.
All right. So as far as takeaways overall, I thought it was about Lenoris getting comfortable. I think that to me, it looked early in the season like, I can't really say, Lulu, if he was playing too tight or too loose, if he was taking too much of the pressure on himself or was trying to help other guys reach what their potential would be within this offense. I just know he didn't look right. Do you think we saw enough out of this Kentucky game that Lenora Sellers can go be the football quarterback we saw last year and not feel like he's whatever it was that was kind of the roadblock, the mental block for him in the first few weeks of the season before the Vanderbilt injury?
Yes, and I will point to something Lenoris told me, which he said he used to have the problem-solving mindset of, when something goes wrong, I'm just going to go do it myself and try to fix it myself immediately instead of communicating with others what's going wrong and how they can fix it. And I think that we saw a lot of that early, where Lenoris was dealing with a lot of really young players around him. And instead of maybe communicating, you know, what could go better in a certain situation, he felt the pressure to try to do it all himself. And obviously everyone knows what happens when you have a quarterback that tries to quite literally carry the entire weight of the team on its shoulders.
Yeah, and I mean, I get it to some degree, Lulu, because I know a lot of other people said that this team goes as far as Lenora Sellers takes them. I mean, yeah, you've got other good players, and those good players are still going to have to perform and all that. But at the end of the day, whether it's playoffs, stay alive in the SEC till late in the season, whatever, it's going to be however far he takes you. But even when you have that mentality, to have all of that heaped onto one guy, that's a lot to ask even of a longtime established veteran quarterback. I think getting some of the other guys going and involved last week was important because, again, if you come into this game against LSU and LSU goes, hey, if we remove Lenore Sellers, we remove the Gamecock offense, then they got guys like Will Weeks over there that can make that happen, and that makes this game a hell of a lot more scary than, yeah, Lenore is still the guy that's going to have to make some special plays, but you have to play out of way, face on whoever. You've got to play honest because they will beat you if you let them.
100%. And I think that when you look at last year, like a key part of that, and this probably just sounds like pretty obvious and a basic take, but like Lenoris was Lenoris, and then you had Rockin Sanders, and then you had Josh Simon. Like, just they had at least one player that was a problem on all three levels, and then bits and pieces to support. And that's not me saying, oh, South Carolina just had a better roster. I just think by this time they had more established players that were a threat, and that's exactly to the point you just made.
I mean, I don't think it is bad, Lulu, or incorrect to say, yeah, last year they had a better roster. Now there are some spots they may get better again. Like, we have seen the flashes of there's that freak athlete, Nick Harbor we're looking for, maybe a little better across the offensive line. Overall, I don't think it's bad to say it was a better roster last year. What I would like to be able to say is, but the scheming is better this year. The fit of the play calling is better this year. And I think in a lot of games that's been lacking, but we kind of saw that develop a little bit against Kentucky as well. Was there anything from the play calling front that jumped out at you as, oh, maybe they tinkered a little bit here?
Yeah, and I'll quickly go back and say the only reason I was somewhat hesitant about the roster is just because on offense they still have so many of their pieces from last year. Obviously not Josh Simon, but like the Jared Browns, Vandravius Jacobs, Mazio Bennett, stuff like that. Like, that's also why obviously losing Rocket Sanders is a huge loss. But to answer your question, I think that South Carolina, it's hard because you look at sort of the play calling and the attack, and you want to sit there and say, like, okay, just do it again. But also, the coaches will be the first to tell you, like, oh, you know, it's game specific. It's sort of what Kentucky was doing or what they were giving us. And you want to sit here and say that things that jumped out at me in a positive way will be, you know, similar against LSU. But it's tricky because things have just been inconsistent, for better or for worse, this season. So it's sort of hard to predict what will continue and what was maybe very specific to, you know, Kentucky on defense, Kentucky just having a really kind of scared quarterback, or on offense just not having the ability to stop someone like Lenoris.
All right, so let's look ahead to this LSU game. This is an LSU team that I've said already, like, they are upset about the loss to Ole Miss in Trinidad Chambliss, and certainly, obviously, Lane Kiffin. They are upset about that. I know the LSU fans, to some degree, are a little bit panicky because, historically, when something goes wrong for Brian Kelly turns into not a super nice guy, and that has led to some of the teams he has coached begin to spiral a little bit. I don't know if that is going to be the case, especially after just one L. What I do know, Lulu, is Trinidad Chambliss is everything in the terms of the attack. Like, maybe he's a little bit thicker, stronger, a little bit better power runner, but we've also seen Lenoris run through some chest. Ole Miss put the blueprint down on how to beat this LSU team. So before we get to some of the X's and O's, do you think that, having seen what Trinidad Chambliss and what Lane Kiffin did last weekend, is this a winnable game? Not will they win, is it winnable for South Carolina on the road in Baton Rouge?
100%. And I think I told you this last week, but I think that this is the most winnable game South Carolina has in the streak of, you know, or stretch of SEC teams. But yes, to answer your question, 100%.
What does this team need to do then to replicate what Ole Miss was able to do? You unfortunately have the disadvantage. While Ole Miss played them at home in Oxford, Mississippi, you've got to go down to LSU and play a night game on the field in Death Valley. That is, I think, the number one most difficult place to play in college football. What does South Carolina need to do to take this from a winnable game to a we won game?
I think stay consistent, and that isn't, and I'm saying that because I think South Carolina, this isn't a game. Last year, South Carolina came out on top, put up, I think it was, they were up 17, and then kind of stuff hit the fan. LSU was able to claw their way back in, and South Carolina didn't necessarily handle the back and forth very well. I think South Carolina's at its best when it just goes back and forth from the start. And I know that might sound dumb or simple, but like I point to Missouri, I point to A&M, I point to those were sort of like these early leads that South Carolina almost lost. This is last year. But then sometimes when they just kind of let a team know that they're not going anywhere, I think that's when they kind of punch teams the hardest rather than a surprising 14 or 7-0 lead. I think South Carolina needs to recognize that this is a game that they can absolutely win, in some ways should win, if you're just a passionate South Carolina fan and looking at, you know, stats. And I think that South Carolina, knowing the environment, can't try to do too much from the jump. They just have to execute and understand that every little thing matters, penalties, et cetera. And I think that will play a huge role, is just how South Carolina like rides the waves and understands that when LSU scores, they have to meet the moment. When they score, they can't get too high, too low type of thing.
I like that take. I like that takeaway. Let me give you a key to the game that I am locked in on, Lulu Kessin, and get your thoughts on it. I was listening yesterday to Brian Kelly's press conference talking, previewing, setting up this game. And he pointed out that Dylan Stewart is maybe the best pass rusher in the Southeastern Conference, that he's probably the best that we'll see. But then Brian Kelly kind of talked a little bit about the expectation that this team can keep Garrett Nussmeier, up, clean, healthy, can keep him, can get him a clean pocket. It wasn't like he was directly calling out South Carolina's pass rush outside of Dylan Stewart. But it was, like if you read between the lines to some degree, to me, a huge impact on this game is going to be, can the rest of the defensive line collapse the pocket, make Garrett Nussmeier uncomfortable, make him protect those ribs that are still sore from the torso injury earlier this year? This game may very well be won and lost by the defensive line. Dylan Stewart's going to catch a lot of double teams. Somebody else, Barrett, Thomas, whoever, somebody else is going to have to step up and make a play and make a difference in this game. That's, to me, where the biggest impact on the game is going to be made. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I agree. And you pointed last year, like Nussmeier. I mean, granted, South Carolina and LSU faced off week three, so much smaller sort of tape. But Nussmeier hadn't been sacked until Kyle Kinnard sacked him in that game. And they had Will Campbell on that O-line last year. I think this isn't to say there's a drastic difference necessarily, but LSU's O-line is different right now. It's kind of figuring out its identity based on conversations I've had with LSU reporters. And I think exactly to your point, the pressure and the focus is going to be on Dylan Stewart. So I think Brian Thomas Jr. has to have a monster game. And I think he's fully capable, and he's shown flashes of doing that.
I think that is fair. All right, Lulu Kessin, we'll let you go so you can, I hope, go back to sleep and take a nap and get yourself feeling right. Your prediction, your prognostication for this game.
I know that this is like a cop-out. I would not be surprised if it's like a 10-point LSU win, but I also would not be surprised if South Carolina won by like a field goal or a touchdown. I do think it'll be close. I guess I'm probably going to print an LSU win, but I would not be surprised if South Carolina pulls this out.
I think that is a very fair take. Lulu Kessin, not just showing up this Thursday at 8 a.m. to talk a little Carolina Gamecock athletics, slapping the play like a champion today sign and running on the field hurt to do it. Lulu, go get yourself feeling right. We got a big weekend ahead of us, young lady.
Yeah, I got to get to LSU. Yeah, thank you so much for having me, and have a great weekend.
Wait, are you heading down?
I am. I've never been, so I'm excited.
I will send you some suggestions later on today, all right? The Louisiana kid okay. Me, I got some spots for you.
Oh, perfect. Okay, awesome.
Enjoy the trip. We'll talk to you next week. Lulu Kessin from the Greenville News. Follow her on X at Lulu Kessin, LuluKessin, and especially if you are a Gamecock fan, locked into this game because she's going boots on the ground in Red Stick, Louisiana. Let's take a break. We've done a lot of college football over the last hour. We did some Chapel Hill drama. We did some Clemson, BC. We did some South Carolina, LSU. Let's talk some other stuff. Let's get some NFL conversation in here because there's quarterback news around the NFL. There's massive divisional games, and we got a Thursday nighter that I got to tell you, if you'd have told me preseason I was going to be locked in for Giants-Eagles, I would have said you're bananas. Now I know I'm going to be a tired boy tomorrow because I'm staying up to midnight watching an NFC matchup tonight. Why? Worry not. I'll share. Coming up, Rob Brown, the great Melonzo U. The Rob Brown Show is on the radio. It's the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on the radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. We have talked quite a bit of college football so far this morning. Talked a little in the last segment with Lulu Kessin of the Greenville News about the South Carolina contest down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, on Saturday. I absolutely do think that it is a winnable game for South Carolina. I just think you'll have to play about as close to perfect football as you have played all season, A. And B, I think you have to go with the lessons you learned in the win over Kentucky. There's been a lot of football teams over the years that have finally hit a stride, and then the second some adversity hits, all of a sudden they start going bananas, right? About once a week, I find myself sending out a tweet that I might as well just copy to the clipboard forever that says, why is it when a football team figures out something that is working and one thing goes wrong, they stop doing the thing that was working? Why? Why does it happen every week? And it doesn't matter what level of football we're watching. Every time something starts to happen that isn't in the plan, it's like, oh, that thing that was working that put us in this spot, we should not do that anymore. I'll never understand it. All right. I do want to talk about this real quick. Lonzo, is Baker Mayfield the most fun player in the NFL to watch right now? Because he definitely is.
Here's the thing. He always was.
That's fair. He was fun when he was in C-Town. He was probably the only fun thing to watch when he was in Carolina.
Listen, those commercials that he did where he supposedly lived in the stadium in Cleveland, those are some of the best athlete commercials of all time.
If you're a Cleveland Brown fan, you should carry hatred for your own team just because of Baker Mayfield.
They already do.
Oh, I know they do.
I have Cleveland Brown
fans. I'm just adding to that. Baker Mayfield, if you did not see it, before the game last weekend against the Seattle Seahawks, the Bucks, which, by the way, elite uniform matchup in that one. The Bucks and the Seahawks both wearing their throwbacks, the Bucks in the creamsicle orange, the Seahawks in the classic old-school silver helmet with the blue uni and the silver pants.
It bothered me because I remember what kind of shape I was in back when they used to wear those, and I wish I was there again.
I loved that uni matchup. That is the uni matchup of the year in the National Football League.
Did they have those when you were a kid, or was this?
Yeah. Oh yeah. After? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Those were the trousers and shirts the Hawks were wearing when I was a kid. Same with the Bucks.
Yeah, but that's back when the Buccaneers were not good. I don't know why you want. Why do you want to go throwbacks to a time when you were not good?
Because they weren't good. But the unis were dope. I didn't hate them. They grew on me a lot over the years.
I like the new ones better. Sorry, I love the old Seahawks uniforms, but
I like the new
Tampa Bay stuff better.
It is contentious.
Like the color scheme, all that stuff.
It is contentious. People who love the creamsicle orange love the creamsicle orange. People who don't hate the creamsicle orange.
You know, maybe that's it. Maybe it's just orange that I don't like.
That's fair. That might be it. So, Baker Mayfield in the tunnel with the boys, leading the squad out to the team. And as they were waiting for the signal from the coordinator to run out onto the field, a Seahawks fan leaned out over the railing and started heckling Baker Mayfield. And Baker, being Baker, started firing back at the guy. Now, I'm not going to play the audio for you, not because I don't want to. I'm not going to play the audio for you because if I edited it, it would have just sounded like, and nobody wants that. So, got into it with the fan, went out onto the field, handed the Seattle Seahawks their first L on the road, at Lumen, gave him the L. And as Baker made his way after the game off of the field back to that same tunnel, Baker made sure that he said bye-bye to the fan. Just started running his mouth back at the guy. Who sucks now, buddy? Eat that L, pal. Like, just having a good time.
Exactly what he said, buddy and pal.
Yep, yep, and definitely not another word. Turned around, did the backwards bunny hop while throwing up the deuces at the guy. It was great because the guy gave him hell. He beat the guy's team. He gave the guy hell. Absolutely fair. Well, the Bake Show, in a press conference a little later on this week, was asked about that moment and his, shall we say, attitude as the quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So Baker says, hey, look, man, when you're young and you're acting like that, it's attitude. It's cocky. When you're older, then it's he's got moxie. Moxie is my favorite word, my favorite adjective when describing people. He's got moxie. Love that word. He's got moxie. He's a dog. Here's the thing.
See, when I hear moxie, I think of an underachiever. And so moxie is the only way that they're getting ahead in life. And I don't consider him an underachiever. I consider him having been in a great situation in Cleveland, and Cleveland is just stupid. Then he had to bounce around to some bad situations, and now he's in a great one.
Yeah, I don't disagree, but I think the fact that he was able to keep performing in a way that he was able to bounce around and bounce around and then eventually land in a great spot. Like, a lot of quarterbacks wouldn't have bounced around that much to land that point, but he just kept being that dog, showed some moxie to end up in a spot where he became the heir apparent to Tom Brady and then kept the Bucs winning. Kept the Bucs winning multiple consistent divisional championships. And oh, by the way, spoiler alert, they're going to win another one this year. So I think there's some, but however you want to use it, moxie, grit, determination, perseverance, whatever adjective you like to describe, for sure. Let's make this very simple. If your team is losing and you act that way, it's frowned upon. And if your team is winning and you act that way, and by that way, I mean literally any way. You can act literally any way. If your team is losing, it is bad to act that way. And if your team is winning, it is good to act that way. We talked about Bill Belichick earlier. I think he is the premier example of this. When Hoodie was running the New England Patriots and was kind of a butthole to everybody, we venerated it. Oh, this guy, he's got it figured out. He's got his system. He knows how to operate. It's all mind games. It's all head games. It's all this. It's all that. And then Tom Brady left, and Bill didn't change a lick. But the Patriots were bad. They were just bad. And then all of a sudden, Bill Belichick, who changed nothing about his behavior, all of a sudden, it's, and Bill kind of sucks. Like, he's kind of not cool anymore. Well, because he's not winning anymore. It's real simple. The thing I appreciate, and I will even say I appreciate it out of Bill, even if I think it's the reason North Carolina's in the dump right now, is like, you never had to guess with Bill Belichick. You just didn't have to guess. Now, you might not learn anything from him, but you didn't have to guess where he was or how he felt or whatever. And the thing I appreciate about Baker Mayfield is, I think if it wasn't for that moxie, that grit, that determination, that spirit, that's a good one too, because spirit's kind of an across-the-board term. That spirit.
That's another one that goes along with moxie.
That is, I disagree. I think you can be good and have great spirit. That's why we have Spirit Day. I'm a big spirit guy. I think you can have that. And Baker does.
Now I'm picturing you as a member of the Spirit Squad. Way to go, you.
Me and Dolph hanging out. Me and the Miz. So the thought here for me is, guys like Baker Mayfield, guys who got that moxie, that spirit, that dog in them, like we should celebrate that. Because if we were to, and how many times has Rob Brown said this on the radio before? About a trillion. If everybody would have just said, all right, Baker's not good. Look, the Cleveland Browns cut ties for a reason. The Carolina Panthers couldn't get it done with him for a reason. This guy just isn't very good at football. And the Bucs would have bought into that. They wouldn't have got Baker Mayfield. And the Baker Mayfield experience, which we're all on that ride together in Tampa Bay, would not be happening right now. This is why I have said for a long time, I will, as I did with Bryce Young, as I did with Sam Darnold, as I did with Caleb Williams, as I did with Baker Mayfield, this is why I will not give up on quarterbacks for having a bad experience at franchise number one and sometimes franchise number two, because some of them are just busting that ass.
Unless you're someone who took yourself out of the game and sat down.
Well, but what would we say about that guy? He ain't got moxie. He ain't got that dog in him.
Is that what we say?
That's what we
say. I'm very disappointed that you have said Baker's name wrong at least 15 times.
See, here's the thing. I think I'm at a point now where I can just let Baker speak for Baker at this point. My man saying, I got moxie. I got that dog in me. Yelling, Baker, isn't going to, I can't elevate that.
It's a show thing.
That's fair. It is a show
thing. We witnessed it, so it's not like it's unusual.
Baker! I love this dude. And despite the fact that he's playing for a divisional rival and one of my least favorite teams in the NFL, Tampa Bay is a must-watch game every freaking week now. Because Baker showed you. Sometimes you give up on a quarterback, you lose out on that guy. And it's spectacular. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
One more quick NFL story for you here that I would like to get to, because I do think whenever we cover national stories here on the show, like, we always want to have local angles first. That is, like, we want to talk about the things that y'all care about, which is why we have Lulu Kesson on, we have John Blau on, we have Rashad Beard on, we have guests on all the time. We spend most of our time on the local stories. Whenever I talk about these national stories, I do so for two reasons. Number one, because I do know that there are, for instance, a lot of NFL fans out there. We're a transplant city. Roughly half of the population is from other places. Those people want at least a little bit of their team as well. Number two, if you say care about the NFL, you care at least to some degree about all 32 teams that are in it, because the performance of all 32 teams has some, at least some impact on the future of your team, even if that's only where you are drafted. And certainly if you are a playoff caliber team, you are interested in the other teams that are playoff caliber teams. But there is one more reason that I like to talk about, not even the X's and O's, but I like to talk about the human interest. I just refer to it as drama, the drama stories with national sports. And the reason is because I think in a lot of them, there is a lesson that can be learned, or a point that can be made that can be educational for us as fans. It can be educational for positions of authority on other teams at other schools and other franchises or programs. And I think that, much like with anything else, The people who are the most successful on this planet, there are two groups of them. Number one, people who are born to really rich parents. And number two, people who can learn lessons that other people experience and then figure out how they translate to your world. If you can look around and learn lessons from other people and then incorporate those lessons into your life, you'll be better for it. This is why there is the old moniker of you are who you are, the people you hang out with, right? Look at your social circle and recognize that the people you surround yourself with are usually a pretty good reflection of who and where you are in your life. And I think a big part of the reason for that is because when you look around at other people and you see what's going on in their life, you can learn from that. And if you are content with where you are, you'll be happy or being around people who are content with where they are, whether it's emotional or spiritually or financially or professionally or whatever. When you figure out this is my groove, man, this is my channel, this is where I'm supposed to be, it is likely that the people around you will be in that same area, in that same thing. If your faith is the most important thing in your life, you are likely surrounded by other people who are churchgoers, for whom faith is their most important thing. If you are financially driven, if money is your most important motivating factor, you're probably spending your time with people who are also financially successful or trying to be, etc., right? So the reason that I talk a lot about these national stories that maybe do not have a huge impact on you as a non-fan, right? Like, what is happening with the Philadelphia Eagles right now is very interesting to me. Very interesting as a sports fan. I know it may not be for somebody who's a Panthers fan, and especially is maybe just a casual fan who tune into shows like this one so that they can hear about their team. But I do think when you have a conversation, like I'm about to with the Philadelphia Eagles, I do think that these are opportunities to talk about things that people are learning and to watch in the future to see if your team learns those lessons, reacts to that, whatever. So, with that being said, let me get to this Eagles story real quick. The Philadelphia Eagles are obviously the reigning, defending, undisputed National Football League champions. The Philadelphia Eagles are also, after 5 weeks of National Football League football, 4-1. The only game that they have lost was this most recent weekend when they dropped a 21-17 decision to the Denver Broncos. Now, I would like to be very clear and say the Broncos are a good team. Do I think they're a great team? No. Do I think they're a playoff team? Borderline the last wild card spot, but that's probably about it. Do I think they're a contender? No, I do not think I don't think they're a divisional contender. I mean, maybe they are. We'll see if the Chiefs rebound. We'll see if the Chargers rebound. But like maybe they are. I do not think that they are a conference contender this year. The Eagles lost to that team. No shame in losing to a good Denver team. And again, it is the NFL. With the right bounces of the right ball and the right play calls and the right schemes on the right day, the worst team in the NFL can beat the best team in the NFL if they catch them on the right day. The problem that I have is not that they lost to the Denver Broncos. The problem I have is how they lost to the Denver Broncos. And we talked about this on Monday. It's one of the few out-of-market games that I specifically gave some time to. Why did I do that? Because the Philadelphia Eagles lost to the Denver Broncos. Despite having a 10-3 lead at the half, despite having a 17-3 lead at the end of the third quarter. Now, if I was to tell you that a football team led the first half 10-3 and led the third quarter at its conclusion 17-3. And then I said, based on that, what conclusion would you draw about that offense? Because the conclusion I would draw about that offense is, I assume they ran the ball about 11 times. I would assume they made this game boring as hell by running the rock. And then, when you add on that they lost a game, they led 17-3 at the end of the third quarter. And They have Saquon Barkley on the team. I have zero idea how this team ran the ball 11 times. 11. They ran the ball 11 times. I get that Saquon Barkley is not going to have the year that he had last year. And that's not because Saquon Barkley isn't still the best running back in the NFL. He is. That is because last year, Saquon Barkley was a guy we were talking about getting to 3,000 yards or 2,000 yards, and he would have, except for in two different games that he could have gotten there. He said what? Remember the clip going around? He's on the bench. Sirianni comes over. He's like, hey, bro, I can get you to 200 yards in this game if you want it. He said, no, let the young guys eat. Let the young guys get some opportunity to learn here. He stopped himself from getting to 2K, or else he absolutely would have been there. That means that this year, a lot of teams came in with a philosophy that I said preseason was the reason that I think the Eagles will be in the NFC mix, but I don't know if they'll be the rep this year because they're going to put it all on Jalen Hurts. And by that, I mean everybody's going to take away Saquon and say, if you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us with Jalen Hurts. Now, Jalen Hurts has been balling out to some degree. Last week in this loss, 23 of 38, 280 in a pair of tutties, a QB rating of over 100. One of only like three quarterbacks last weekend to hit that mark. I don't think that's why the Eagles lost the game. I think the Eagles lost the game because they only ran the ball 11 times. And I think there's a reason they only ran the ball 11 times. There were two reports that dropped last week. Early in the week, the report dropped that A.J. Brown was upset at his role in the offense. Why? Because A.J. Brown, as you can ask my wife, because he's on her fantasy team, is not doing anything. He's getting like two or three targets a game. None of them have been down the field big play opportunities. And he wants his numbers, dog. Which, again, I've said before, as a wide receiver, I totally get. Because when it's contract time, they are just going to point at the sheet of paper and go, hey, man, you only had 750 yards. You're not a $24 million man. And you got to go, you didn't throw me the ball, you jackass. I can't get 750 plus yards if I'm getting two targets a game. It's not how it's going to work. So he was upset about it. And then later on in the week, I have to assume or imagine, inspired by the story about A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith came out and said that he was unhappy with the reduced role in the offense. Why? Because the Eagles are a team that runs the football 1,000 times with Saquon Barkley. And I think that as a response to that, Nick Sirianni came out and said, all right, dude, we're gonna be a throwing team this week. We're going to get A.J. and Devontae involved. So what'd they do? They threw the ball 38 times. Devontae Smith got 10 targets. A.J. Brown got 8. Devontae Smith had 114 yards. A.J. Brown had 43 yards, but a handful of first down catches, which is kind of his role on that offense when they are throwing the football. Yet, the Philadelphia Eagles lost to the Denver Broncos. So, what is the lesson that is a takeaway from this? If you're the best at a thing, do the thing. That's it. That's the whole thing. Sometimes this game ain't that complicated. Now, there are aspects of it that are super complicated. You ever seen those clips of Peyton Manning and Drew Brees giving calls in the huddle? 48 flood, XY 77, Z drive, 1497 Omaha blitz ready. Like, they're bananas. But if you ever listen to them break down those calls, what you will learn is that if you're on the field on offense, usually only one of those things pertains to you, right? 55, that's the offense's line's protection. X drive, cool, that's the primary receiver. That's all he's listening for. X drive, that's the route I'm running. Y split, all right, that's the route I'm running. Dive right, that's what the running back is doing here. It's not that complicated. And that is at every level up to and including if you are the best at a thing, and if you just, I don't know, won the friggin' Super Bowl by doing the thing, maybe do that thing more. Earlier this week, Nick Sirianni called A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Jalen Hurts, and Saquon Barkley into his office to have a meeting about fixing the offense. My guy, you were 4-0 until you changed the offense. Now you're 4-1. And I get the reality of the situation, which is you don't want to create a rift between you and Devontae Smith, a rift between you and A.J. Brown, which we already saw. A.J. Brown's already forced his way out of one school because there was a rift, or one program, one franchise, in Tennessee. Forced his way out because he hated the chemistry. I get it. You don't want to lose the guy. But at the same time, you have done nothing but nail draft picks, including at the wide receiver position. You've done nothing but nail draft picks. So why, when you go 4-0 running a Saquon-style offense, when you are undefeated and the short odds favorite in the NFC to get back to the Super Bowl, because two wide receivers say, "Hey, I'm really upset. I would like the ball, please. I would like you to throw me the football, please." You're going to completely derail that. You're going to throw 38. He completed 23. You're going to throw 38 times. And with Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, A.J. Dillon, and Will Shipley in the scat back that he's become, you're going to run the ball 11. That's 11 times between all four of those guys. Not like 11 carries per guy. 11 carries between all those guys. The best, unquestionable, hands down, undisputed running back in the NFL. You give him the ball 6 times. Are you shocked you lost? You are 4-1 for one reason and one reason alone. You let two guys make you change the philosophy of the offense away from what you do better than anybody else. Nobody's been able to stop it. And then you're like, "Hey, let's do something else because some guys' feelings are hurt." If they leave, they leave. If you want to go place it for somebody who's not a Super Bowl favorite, like 6 years in a row, good luck. Have fun. Well, you can watch us on TV from Cancun when you're playing in Cincinnati next year. Have a ball, bud. Don't change stuff for no reason when the stuff you're changing friggin' works. This is unbelievable. You know what does work every time? You getting smarter because of Lonzo Sports Flash.
It's been somebody said it. In the MLB playoffs, the Mariners and Tigers will play an elimination game Friday after Detroit tied the series at 2 with a 9-3 win yesterday. The Tigers scored multiple runs on 4 of the 5 pitchers Seattle used. Chicago Cubs fought off elimination with a 4-3 win over Milwaukee yesterday. Jameson Tellian gave up 2 runs in 4 innings, but 5 other Cub pitchers surrendered just 1. Chicago had 8 hits, including a Michael Busch homer that started a 4-run first inning. The Blue Jays are on the ALCS with a 5-2 win. They're on 2. To eliminate the Yankees, the Jays had a dozen hits, including 4 doubles. New York went just 6 of 32, with only Aaron Judge recording multiple hits. And the Phillies avoided a sweep, knocking off the Dodgers 8-2 in L.A. Aaron Nola went 2 innings before giving way to 5 innings from Ranger Suarez.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day, and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus, or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only, offer valid for eligible subscribers only, terms apply.